tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world.
This gift of love and righteousness. came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. His body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Welcome, Hope Show listeners. I'm so happy that you've all decided to join me here on the Hope Show. It's been a beautiful week here, and I hope that you have had a beautiful week too. Last week, the message was called In Christ Alone. And at the end of the hour, I announced that this week there would be a part two of last week's message. So here we are. Today's message is In Christ Alone, part two. Let's begin the hour with an opening prayer. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity for all of us to join together today to worship, to fellowship, and praise you, and to hear the message that you would have us to hear. Dear Heavenly Father, you so loved this world that all your children and all your children, that you gave us your only begotten Son. He who was rich became poor for us. The eternal Word became flesh, a great light shining in the darkness. May we never forget that. In Jesus Christ alone, we are saved. Without Jesus Christ, we would be nothing and have nothing. Dear Heavenly Father, please anoint this vessel. May the words that come out of my mouth be all from you and not of my own understanding. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you for joining me in that opening prayer. Last week we started off with a brief history lesson going back to when creation first began. Before coming to earth, Jesus existed eternally in heaven with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. These three made up the Trinity, the Godhead, that were present at the time of creation. Also at this time, there were many angels in heaven, but one particular angel, once named Lucifer, defied God, rebelling against him, and fell from God's grace. We know that this fallen angel today, we know him by many other names, but most commonly known as Satan or the devil. After the fall with God, Satan was expelled from heaven and sent to earth. The first man and woman created were Adam and Eve. They were placed in the Garden of Eden and were forbidden to eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge. But Satan fooled Eve into eating the fruit anyway. She then convinced Adam that it would be okay to eat from the tree of knowledge too. They rebelled against God, not obeying the command to never eat from the tree of knowledge. Here is where the fall of humanity began. Then we ended last week's message with, Christ alone is our cornerstone. A foundation is critical to any sound structure that is built. It's the underlying base and support upon which something is built upon. And Andrew Morrison was quoted as saying, it may seem like a simple part of the overall construction process, but getting the foundation right is incredibly important. The biggest reason is that any mistakes you make in the foundation will only get worse as you go up. Because Jesus is the cornerstone and the foundation of the church and of our lives, He and His laws are our measuring stick. If Jesus isn't the foundation of our faith, our hope, our trust and love, then we are living on shaky ground. Mm-hmm. And so, the song that was played at the beginning was In Christ Alone. Has anyone truly listened to the words of this song? Because it sums up where we need to be in our relationship with Him. So here's what it says. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fierce drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled and when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones who came to save, or by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross that Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground, as his body lay with the darkness of the world, was slain by darkness, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he arose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, nor fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns and calls me home, here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. What a beautiful expression of the life of Jesus Christ. Those are powerful words, and they describe what Jesus Christ is and where our relationship should be with him. In Isaiah 40:11, the Bible reads, He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have the young. This verse describes Jesus as a shepherd. Shepherds defend and protect their flock by whatever means is necessary. Shepherds knew their flock very well. They knew exactly how many were in the flock, what condition they were in, their health issues, and knew the best grass for them to eat and where it was to keep them healthy. If one went astray, the shepherd did everything he could to safely bring them back to the flock again. In John 10:14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus never stops watching out for and caring for us. We also see from this verse that he holds us close to his heart. Nothing can tear us apart from him. In Romans 9:38-9, the Bible tells us, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, or anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Do you remember what the quote from Andrew Morrison said about how it is so critical to have a solid foundation to build upon? Friends, the love of God has for us, or the love that God has for us through His Son Jesus, is stronger than any glue or cement ever made. Can you believe that? The love that God has for us through His Son Jesus is stronger than any glue or cement ever made. Wow. It stands the test of time and stands strong in the fiercest storm that beats against us. Friends, Christ is our pillar of strength. He is our cornerstone on which the foundation of our lives rest. In Isaiah 28:16 and 1 Peter 2:6, Jesus is described as being a cornerstone. A cornerstone was the first stone that was laid in the construction of a building. So what I'm trying to say here is our life, our faith, our foundation rests solely upon Jesus. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together. We, God's children, are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Friends, it doesn't matter how difficult our lives become, how fierce the storms are that beat against us, we can stand strong knowing that Jesus is our cornerstone, our firm foundation. Like the man who built his home on the rock instead of the sinking sand, if we build our lives on the firm foundation of Christ Jesus, we too can weather any storm that comes our way. But friends, if we build our foundation grounded on the ideas of the world, then our homes, our very lives, are built on sinking sand. Jesus came to earth for us as a gift. He came as a small, helpless baby. He came to earth for a purpose, and that purpose was to save all of us from our sins so that we could spend eternity in heaven with God the Father. He was the bridge between our sins and God. Why would God send His only Son to this world to save us? Because, my friends, we cannot save ourselves on our own. Since the creation of Adam and Eve, their disobedience to God, we have been separated from God by sin. Jesus was and is, as I said, the bridge that brought us back to our Father. In Jesus, through His blood being shed, as He hung there from the cross and died, our debt from sin was paid in full. In Christ alone is where we find our salvation. Let me ask all of you a question. I'd like for you to try to remember the Ten Commandments. 10 rules or laws that God commands us to follow, remembering that we are of sinful nature. We're not perfect. We're flawed. Can any one of you, say that you follow the Ten Commandments perfectly? right down to the letter. I know I haven't. Let's be honest with ourselves. Let's look into our hearts. And then we'll understand that we have failed at just 10 short, simple laws, commandments from God. And what's even worse, there are many, many, many people in this world that actually delight in their sin and even love it. They love the darkness rather than the light. To these people, darkness is their light. How messed up is that? Now can you understand more clearly why it was so important that Christ Jesus came to this world to save us? There was no other way unto man. Friends, those that love the darkness reject Jesus Christ, and anyone who tries to shed the light of God on them. Jesus came into this world to do what we could not do for ourselves, to get rid of the sin that stains us and keeps us apart from God. In Romans 3:21, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." It can't get much clearer than that. This verse goes straight to the point. The penalty for our sins was paid on the cross of Calvary by Jesus, who died in our place. He shed every last drop of His blood so that we could be returned to the loving arms of our Heavenly Father. But wait, the story doesn't end there, because Jesus didn't stay dead. 3 days later, He was resurrected, and in His resurrection we have the hope of eternal life. Romans 6:5, the Bible tells us, "If we are united with Christ in His death, then we will be united in His resurrection also." The song, "In Christ Alone," said that He bursts forth from the ground in glorious day. Because of Christ's death and resurrection, we are free. We are free from the sin and its penalty that it's had over each of our lives. If God can forgive us of our sins, then we best be able to forgive ourselves of our sins too. We all sin. Not just a few of us, not just a certain race or a certain amount of business people. We have all sinned. But when we accept Jesus into our heart as our Lord and Savior, our sins are washed white as snow, and sin no longer has any power over us. The only power that sin or Satan has over us is the power that we give him by not keeping ourselves grounded in the Word of God, by allowing certain things into our mind and our heart that should not be there. But if you recognize this is happening, then tell Satan and those who work for him to flee from your body, flee from your mind and your heart. And if you do this, they have to flee. They cannot stay where they are not welcome. When we accept Jesus into our lives, we are born again. We are a child of God forever. Forever. And nothing can take us away from Him. And so upon that thought, I'm going to go ahead and take a short break. And I hope all of you will stay tuned in to the second half of today's message.
blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon you.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Welcome back, Hope Show listeners. Thank you for tuning in to the Hope Show. If you're just tuning in, today's message is In Christ Alone, Part 2. After today's message, later on in the day, you can go to the podcast page on Shiz's Radio and listen to it if you'd like to. And please, I encourage you, share. There are a lot of lost souls in this world, and we need to be getting busy about getting the Word of God out to all these people before it is really too late. Because when that time comes, folks, there will be no second chances, no redos. And I don't know about you, but I want to see all my loved ones and my friends and every one of God's children in heaven one day. I don't want anyone to be left behind or finding themselves living in an eternity in hell. Think about that. Eternity, separated from God. In Matthew 13:42, hell is described and gives us a very clear image of hell. Jesus says, "And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Hell is forever. All who enter hell abandon all hope." The horror of hell, for even one second, is unbearable, but forever. Is this the life we want for our fellow brothers and sisters? It's such a horrific image in my mind that I can't even imagine the full depth of what the lost ones would go through if they had to spend eternity in hell. Eternity is forever and ever and ever, eternal, and without any kind of hope whatsoever. In Hebrews 11:16, the Bible tells us, Now without faith it is possible to please God, but for the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and rewards those who seek him. In a world that shouts out negative messages to us all the time, we need a reminder, like the song that played at the beginning, In Christ Alone. We need messages of hope. Some days we might think, well, you know, I don't have time to read the Bible today. Or, I think I'll skip church today. Or maybe, I think I'll pass over this song on the radio. I'm not just feeling it today. Or maybe, I'm so fed up with the world, I don't even know what to pray for, so I'm just not going to pray today. I don't feel like reading my devotional. Friends, these are lies of Satan that's getting into your head. And the next time you feel like skipping anything to do with God and your relationship with him, don't. Don't skip. You know, don't skip out on anything, any part of your relationship with God daily. Have you ever felt like skipping something and that small little voice deep inside says, "Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Get up, dress up, and show up." That is the Holy Spirit trying to tell you something. If you ignore that inner voice and skip this or that, then you may never know what message God had for you that day. Through a song, a church service, sitting down reading your Bible or your daily devotional, or by praying that day. You may never know just how any one of those things might have impacted you in ways that you can't even imagine. Jesus is our only hope. Friends, this world can be very complex with what seems like uncountable options. But in reality, there is only one way. In John 14:6, the Bible tells us, Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And in Matthew 7:13 and 14, the Bible says, "Enter by the narrow gate, For the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Friends, entering the narrow gate, following God in all righteousness, no matter how difficult it might be at times, is worth it. Don't believe the lies of the world that tell you otherwise. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it's talking about Jesus. And it says, "For our sake, God, He, made Him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." Friends, that's not to be taken lightly. That's huge. The justification of that comes from God's grace alone. It is ours through faith alone. God made two main covenants with humanity, but we're just going to talk about the one for now. The first of these is the covenant of works, which was made with Adam for all the people, all his descendants. Adam was promised life or death, depending upon his obedience to the Lord's command not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which he failed miserably. Had he obeyed God, he would have had eternal life in heaven. But because Adam failed, he brought down on all of his descendants, us, sin. God doesn't change his commands. He is the same yesterday as today and tomorrow. Even though Adam messed up, all of his descendants, God's children, you and I, are still obligated to keep the covenant of works. Even though it is impossible to do on our own, but not impossible if we have Jesus Christ in our life. Friends, think about this. Our Creator could have just looked down on all this earth and seen, the sin of Adam and the mess in this world, and he could have just thrown up his hands at any time up in the air and say, "I give up. They're a lost cause. There's no help for them. I'm going to abort this mission." But friends, that's not how our God operates. Out of His love and mercy, instead of doing that, He entered into a new covenant of works with you and I. We were created with free will, and He will not force Himself upon us. Whether we choose to follow Jesus Christ is of our own choosing. But let it be clearly understood that both choices have consequences. If you choose Jesus and follow Him the days of your life, follow all the commandments, you will be blessed, rewarded. But if you choose to live life in the world of darkness, your days will be long and unsatisfying. You will long for things and not receive them. Your thirst will be unquenched. Nothing will ever be good enough. You will always want more of what the world offers you. You will search high and low for true joy, peace, and happiness, and yet you will never find it. Your life will be eternal death, separated from God for all time. Friends, where are you standing right now Where are you in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you have one? If you haven't made that confession of faith, and you want to, if you haven't given that confession of faith and given your life to Him, but you want to, then you have the opportunity to do so right now. If you feel God tugging on your heart, if God has spoke to you, repeat after me right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I believe you died for my sins. Right now, I turn from my sins and open the door of my heart and life. I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen. And if you just said this prayer with me, I believe you have been born again. And for all of us, let's bow our head in a closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your message. We thank you for those who came forth today, accepted you in their heart, and made you their Lord and Savior. Thank you for sacrificing your only Son to live on earth as our example for living, and later dying on the cross, shedding all his blood for us to pay our debt of sin in full. Thank you for his resurrection and the hope you have given us all. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. Friends, in Christ alone, our cornerstone, our hope is found. He is our light, our strength, our song, the solid ground we stand on. Through the fiercest storms, He is there with us. He is our comforter, our all in all. Here in the love of Christ we stand. Friends, God bless each and every one of you. Until next Saturday, same time, same place. Go out there and spread the gospel to everyone you meet. It is quite literally a life or death situation. It's serious business, folks. God bless. I love you, brothers and sisters.
I hear the Savior say, Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power, and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Just paid it all.
Liquid.
Liquid.
Go
you.